In which case, we will read Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek you, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. We're going to, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord and stand in his holy place. In other words, who's worthy to go up to the temple to worship God? What was the answer? Whose heart is pure and whose hands and lips are clean.
I'm sorry.
Here, whose hands are clean? Everyone washed their hands this morning?
Yeah.
Who remembers how to wash their hands? We did a lot of washing our hands a few years ago, didn't we?
Happy birthday, yeah.
We're going to test. We're going to have a test on how well we wash our hands. Who wants to come and volunteer to be tested? Come on, Katie, you like it. You know what you're doing. There's a reason I left the lights off this morning. It glows, yes. Yeah, we'll turn that off. But is that enough? Anyone else want to try this while we're... Just spread it all over your hands. So I want it all over your hands. And then we've got, hold them up so people can see. So all Caitlin's hands glow under the UV light with the stuff that she's put on them. And Debbie's do. I think I've probably given you a bit too much, but it didn't work very well when I did a little tiny bit. Oh, let's see now. I don't know whether the lights... That's it. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, while we sing our next song, you guys are going to go and wash your hands, and then when you come back, we'll check how well you've washed them.
Touch the door,
hey. Oh, yeah, let me open the door for you. You can do it out there. That's for later. Yeah. I'll be going around. Where have they been touching? Another way of talking in the Bible about clean hands and a pure heart is to talk about being holy. And our next song asks God to make us pure and holy for him. So shall we see how well you washed your hands? Oh, yeah. Oh, look, I see a little speck there.
That would stay with finger workers.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, lots of little specks on there, Claire. But you're quite good. Yeah, you've done quite well. Oh, missed a bit there. It's surprising. No, Debbie's got it, I think.
Let's
see the other side, yeah. Oh,
a speck.
Just like a little bit of glitter, isn't it? Thank you, well done. Mostly clean. All that practice over COVID's obviously paying off. Kevin's going to bring us our reading this morning, and it's from Matthew 15, verses 1 to 20.
Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "Then why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, 'Honor your father and mother.' And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honored me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachers are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father was not planted will be pulled out by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth comes from the heart. And these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them."
We talked a bit about having clean hands. We might even suggest today that Jesus was in the wrong. They should have been washing their hands before they ate. In these days after COVID and the 22nd rule, it's hard to believe. But did you know, the first doctor to realise you should wash your hands before you perform surgery was in 1847. And even then, people didn't believe him. No one knew of the existence of germs until about 100 to 150 years ago. So what do the Pharisees and Jesus mean by clean and unclean? For us, clean and unclean are a physical thing, aren't they? If I go out and play in the mud, I get dirty. I come in, I have a wash, I get clean. We might just about grasp the hygiene aspect, as I say, particularly since COVID, that there are times when I need to wash my hands, regardless of whether they look dirty, because they might be carrying germs, as we saw. But do we really think God cares about it? Well, these guys did. You see, in the Old Testament, there were lots of rules about being clean. And only if you were clean could you go anywhere near anything to do with God. God was so pure, so holy, and his people had to be like that too. And there were lots of things that made you unclean. Things you ate, things you touched, things that happened to you. This wasn't doing things wrong any more than getting dirty is wrong, but the stuff of everyday life made you unfit for God's presence, and you had to wash it off. Sometimes by literal washing of hands or clothes, sometimes by sacrifices. But you couldn't be part of the holy community and be dirty. We'll come back to that in a minute. This very story is part of the reason why we don't connect with this story. Because in Mark's Gospel, he puts an editor's note in this. And he says, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And we don't do clean and unclean today. But we might find that the idea behind it is not so alien to us after all. I'm going to step outside the world of the Bible for a minute and try to find a way that we can connect with this. It isn't exactly what the Jews thought, but I want us to try to understand their reaction. Perhaps instead of thinking in terms of something being unclean, which is a very formal, sterile term, isn't it? Perhaps we might think of disgusting. The stuff that makes you go, ugh. I won't eat that. I won't do that. I won't touch that. Because, ugh. Think of food. Think of some of those things that are perfectly edible. But... but you just wouldn't. Not stuff that you don't like the taste of. But stuff that you don't like the idea of. A few years back, there was a big to-do in the news, wasn't there, about, because they found that a lot of hamburgers had been made with horse meat. About a year ago in church, I offered people insects to eat. We know that in France, people eat snails. In some South American countries, they eat guinea pigs. Physically, nothing wrong with these things are physically edible, but it gives us that physical and emotional reaction that just says, no! And perhaps you can imagine going somewhere where people put these things on the plate in front of you, and you have to decide whether to stand by your instinctive reaction or to do the unthinkable and eat it. And maybe you can get some sense of the reaction of the Jewish people when they saw others eating things that were unclean. But it's not just about food, as we've seen, it's also about behaviour. And we're going to watch another video clip. The BFG. Sophie and the BFG both agree that some things are just, that's disgusting, don't do it. It doesn't make you a bad person, but it might just interfere with our relationship. The actual thing we think of might vary according to our culture or our upbringing, but that sense of something being dirty is still with us in some way. The thing is, when we look at some of the laws the Jews had, we can see that they do have a point beyond. God taught his people hygiene before science did. A lot of the laws were around disease control in a society that had no medical knowledge. But, as often happens with these things, the original context is lost, and they become laws for their own sake. Other laws were written around them. A whole culture is built around them. Now, it's not just, to do this. It's totally wrong, offensive, ungodly. And what Jesus and his disciples were breaking here wasn't just Old Testament law, it was society's expectations. They were passing wind in public, picking their noses. Whatever else we might think of as, it's not acceptable. And these Pharisees, these goody-two-shoes who never do any of that, pulled Jesus up on it. They sound a bit like people complaining to the parents of a rude child. We don't act like that. Tell them to behave. Jesus says, no, you don't act like that. You never eat food that's been dropped on the floor, even under the 5-second rule. What you do is much worse. You do all these things to look great, to look respectable, to keep tradition. But you're always looking for loopholes, for ways to get what you want, to serve yourself. You're acceptable in society. You please other people, but you're not acceptable to God because you're not trying to please him. I'm sure you know the story of the Good Samaritan. The man attacked by robbers and left by the side of the road, a priest came along and walked by on the other side. A worker in the temple also walked by before the Samaritan came along and helped. It's been suggested that the reason these two did not stop is that they didn't want to make themselves unclean. They were so concerned with being officially, ceremonially acceptable to God that they didn't care for the man in need. Doesn't God want love and mercy more than keeping their hands clean? So just like we had repeatedly from the prophets, Jesus criticizes the Pharisees for doing all the right religious things, while inside they were as bad, if not worse, than anyone else. So Jesus uses this image of clean and unclean, prompted by the criticism of the Pharisees, to explain that obeying the rules of don't eat, don't touch, don't associate with, isn't going to make you pure, holy, or godly. These things are just outward dirt. They wash off like the stains in the person advert. They don't make you bad people. They don't make you unfit to associate with God. What makes you unfit to associate with God is the state of your mind, your heart, your spirit. If that's dirty, if your motives are impure, if your intentions are evil and you're captivated by pride, envy, and greed, these things make you unclean. They lead to all kinds of sin and death and can't just be washed away with a bit of soap or alcohol gel. Not only that, but this kind of uncleanness pollutes the community. It's catchy. Hang around people who are immoral, who think this is an okay way to behave. And you start to think like them and follow their example. This is the uncleanness and the impurity that needs to be cleansed, to be avoided, to be overcome. We're going to sing again. And during this song, I'm going to invite the children up here to do some finger painting. And you need to try not to get messy. So we have some paint. We do have some aprons. Come on people. We do have some aprons so that hopefully, please just keep going and going. Put an apron on, try and keep you. So we talked about how those outside things don't make us acceptable or unacceptable to God. Washing our hands, following tradition, fitting in with society doesn't make us clean before him. And not doing any of that doesn't make us unclean. What makes us unclean are those things in our heart. Anger that makes us mistreat each other. Lust that leads to adultery or sexual immorality. Greed and envy that lead to theft, slander, gossiping. And we said that this is catchy. It's not just that people catch it from us, but that living in the world, we catch it from other people. Let me demonstrate. The children have been doing finger painting as cleanly as they can. Now I want you to come and wipe your fingers on my top. Come on.
Your face is a lovely picture.
She didn't say that. Come on.
Go on.
You can wipe it on the back, it's fine. Wherever you like, sleep. Then if you want to go and wash your hands, there's a bowl of water over there. And then you can come back and dry them on the top. Or you can carry on doing that if you want. Every time someone's mean to me, that gets me a bit messy. Every time people or circumstances make me angry, every time I see an advert and want what it's trying to sell me, every time I want something I can't have, every time I feel jealous of someone, every time I get a compliment and start to feel pride, it just gets me a bit grubby. And over time, the dirt and the mess builds up. And I assume that I'm fairly dirty. Inside and out. I can't clean that. I can try. I can scrub. I can wash. I don't think this shirt will ever be the same. What can I do? The bad news is there's nothing I can do. The good news is that Jesus can. Just as the Jews would sacrifice a goat or a bull to purify themselves from any uncleanness, Jesus sacrificed himself to purify us. Ironically, it was a messy business. They would take an animal, kill it, and sprinkle the blood on the people to purify them of their sins. It didn't physically wash them, but it cleansed them. Perhaps today we might think of it like hand sanitizer versus soap. We wash our dirty hands with soap, and that should get the dirt off if we do it properly. We use hand sanitizer, and it doesn't necessarily get the dirt off, but it kills the bacteria. The blood of the animal killed the contagious bacteria of uncleanness in the community. The blood of Jesus kills the bacteria of sin in our lives, not on the outside, but on the inside. And the Bible says he takes our dirty garments and clothes us in his righteousness. Jesus cleans us from the inside out. And that's part of the symbolism of baptism, a sign of the cleansing that has happened within us. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And that's a reason to celebrate. Lord God, thank you that we are loved, cleansed, and welcomed into your family. As we go from here, may we know your presence with us and your blessing upon us. And through your Holy Spirit, live clean lives in your holy name.